I really enjoyed the previous speakers and a lot of the ground that they plowed or no-tilled, as the case may be. I'm not going to cover. I figured by this time you wouldn't see some of those graphs. I want to recognize my co-authors. Two of them are not in the University of Nebraska system anymore. Occam Doberman is at Erie, and Dave Tarkelson is at ARS. And I think Jörg Blumenthal, who's back there, helped us with 1 year of this data way back when. So since you're sitting there, I'll recognize you, Jörg. The end result of what I'm going to talk about is a new extension circular, which is probably the third or fourth revision of our fertilizer suggestions for corn since I've been at the University of Nebraska. And I'm going to work backwards from there, but since this is supposed to be about our extension materials, that is our end product. I do have a bunch of them in my briefcase there, which I can get out for the break. But everything that we talked about here is the background for what's in our written recommendations. So today I want to cover these four items. I'm going to briefly go over the research that underlies our recommendation, discuss what our recommendations are, and then how we made our adjustments, and then end up back with our extension materials. The underlying database for what we've done in terms of our economic adjustment was with our Nebraska Soil Fertility Project, which was conducted earlier in this decade. And that follows other work that we've done. But essentially, we were trying to determine whether our nitrogen logarithm was functional under higher yields than when it was developed. And I'm not going to get too much into models. I will show the models we used. But we got to remember that models are really, you know, not the biological process that we're handling. So we use similar models to what the previous speakers did, but they're really just, you know, the math, not really a model of how the corn grows. In Nebraska, even under irrigated conditions, we do have tremendous variability. And I want to just focus here that when we have corn following corn, our zero N levels are really variable. Some of it is the indigenous N that comes from the organic matter, as was discussed. We have nitrates in our irrigation water and all that. So when we have corn following corn, we have tremendous variability here. We have tremendous year-to-year variability. Sometimes we plateau. Sometimes we just keep going up depending on the N rate. So we do have you can probably pick any kind of model in any 1 year. When we follow soybeans, we have a much tighter fit. We do have ranges at the zero rate, but we tend to maximize somewhere in the 150 pound applied range. So we have really two different responses, we feel, corn on corn versus corn following soybeans. However, we really don't take that into account in our economics. And I'll say right now, we really have no way of capturing the variability or the difference in variability in our response to nitrogen between the two crops. We do have a legume credit, but that's the only way we capture it. What we were trying to do with our project was to see if our recommendations from our previous NEB guides were still valid, and then we were going to focus on the extremes of the price differences, just as the two previous speakers talked about. The price, long-term price ratios have been changing recently. We wanted to add that and see if that was an issue as well. So I'm going to focus mostly on the economic optimum nitrogen rate calculations. We were not trying to come up with a production function for nitrogen. We kind of took the approach that the producer knew where they were in the kind of the maximum yield or their own yield level that they felt they could produce, and then we wanted to provide them a nitrogen rate to get to that yield level as compared to having them predict the yield. Most of that variability in Nebraska is weather related, so usually somebody is not going to pick a yield level that's less than what they think their long-term average should be. So for a long time, at least 15 years, our logarithm for nitrogen includes expected yield. We have an interesting term where we multiply the expected yield times organic matter times 0.14. And so if you want to think of a 100 bushel yield goal, it's about 14 pounds per percent organic matter. We don't have time today to discuss all this, but essentially this was derived by committee, but mostly through regression analysis. Gary Hergert's here today, and he led that back in the mid-'80s, late early 90s. With multiple regression, this came out as a significant factor. The way I explain that to producers is we have dry land and irrigated, and when you have dry land, you have, at that time, low yields, and where you have irrigated, you have high yields, so it's also a productivity factor that's kind of implicit. For those who do not have, who feel confident in their yield goals, one thing that the University of Nebraska has produced is this model called hybrid maize. And so producers can use this term, this software program, to locate themselves geographically with the weather data that's available long-term and their hybrid planting date. They can actually calculate what a long-term yield would be, kind of a maximum yield. They can compare their average yield to that, and if there's a wide range of difference, they can look at their management techniques to determine if they need to change something. It doesn't really suggest what to change, but it would be a flag that they could need to do something in that regard. We also have a NEB guide that goes through the process of using the hybrid maize, not as an instruction, but uses maps of Nebraska so that someone, if they didn't want to run the model, they could just find themselves on the map and come up with some kind of a very rough estimate of what their yield potential should be. So what we did is we actually created formulas that regress yield and nitrogen rate, but instead of using calculus, we kind of did a iterative process where we just applied different nitrogen rates using typical return to nitrogen price of corn and the difference between yields and with and without nitrogen over a range of corn nitrogen ratios. How this was done is documented in pretty much detail in a Great Plains Soil Fertility Conference proceedings, which is available. We fitted an exponential rise to maximum and a spherical model with a plateau to come up with the data for that Nebraska Soil Fertility Project. And so for an individual site, we would get something like that. What was interesting to us, and this was shown by the two previous speakers, that if you use different models, you're going to get different optimum N rates, and so you can get some big differences. So instead of trying to figure out which was the best model, we just averaged the results of these two models, which isn't rigorous scientifically, but probably is good. And the other impact that we like to tell our farmers is that at these high nitrogen prices and small ratios, the cost of making a mistake is a lot worse than up here where corn is fairly high valued. And this is intuitively, I think, what farmers do. They say, well, we can beat the we can put 30 pounds more N on than you recommend when corn has a good price, because it's not going to affect our profit. But if they did the same thing down here, it would. And so from our extension effort, we do have to really focus on the cost of making a mistake in this economic situation. I think farmers can intuitively, farmers can see the difference in the corn following corn as well as the corn following soybeans because they know that we have a credit. What's interesting is that this difference gets much less, again, when nitrogen is very expensive. The one thing that our economic analysis doesn't do explicitly and is a little bit dangerous is the fact that when we start putting more nitrogen on than what we would recommend, this would be, consider this a traditional corn nitrogen ratio. As we put more N on, which may be justifiably economically, environmentally, we end up with more nitrogen in the profile. So even though you might be operating out here and making some money, you will have N in the profile in the winter, which would make the, there will be potential for leaching of nitrates. At least in Nebraska, we do have that problem. And so our extension materials, we do have a little paragraph in our NEB guide that gives a warning, but we don't have any way of really pushing that to any great extent. So we wanted to see whether our standard equation that's up there, whether that worked, whether that was still giving us economic optimums. And so there are a lot of ways you can compare things. And what we decided to do was use what we got from the different research sites. We had a lot more information about those sites because we took samples per plot and things like that. So we have what we call an optimum implementation of the logarithm where we feel like we know the numbers pretty well. And then an actual one where you could say that would be more of a farmer knowledge. You might have one soil sample for a lot bigger area. You may not have all the information you need. So, you know, under the best of circumstances as a researcher, I can go up there and say my model's working well, but on the farm level, if they miss some things, how's it working? So if we compared those two, the optimal implementation versus the actual, here's a one-to-one line between the recommended and what we calculated as economically optimal, and there's pretty good fit. I don't know what the R-square of that is, but, you know, that's pretty close. But when we relax our precision a little bit, and whether we may not get the yield goal right, we may not take the sample correctly, there is a little bit more scatter. So that just tells us we need to do a good job of teaching how to do each step of our nitrogen recommendation procedures. But the bottom line of what all this work comes out to be is how well we do when the prices change. And this line here is the amount of N that's different between the UNL recommendation and the economically optimum N rate. And at low price ratios, so if corn is not too high and N is high, you'd be down in this range. And we can be off over 50 pounds down at these low ratios. Probably 5 to 1 is as low as it's gotten, but that's still 40 pounds off. So what we wanted to do is come up with an adjustment that would bring the line down on this part and move this line up so that we were plus or minus 5 or 10 pounds throughout the range of economics. So how did we do that? Essentially, we decided to just come up with an adjustment factor to make it easy. We looked at our results and figured out what the relationship was based on a unit, making 8 essentially 1. And so everything was normalized plus or minus. So if, you know, if it was 80% at this ratio, we just had a 0.8, and then on the top side, we'd increase it. This made for a very easy kind of thing to explain to farmers. They would just have to calculate the corn N price ratio, and then where they are on this graph, they could multiply the N rate that they're used to making those calculations. They could just adjust that. So we didn't have to make a more fancy involved formula beyond what we already had. Now, when we decided to implement this into our NEB guide, we thought it might be difficult we figured we didn't really want to put that equation in our NEB guide. So we actually just regressed a simple quadratic, basically a quadratic plateau up to a ratio of 12 and made a table. And it turns out that that's very good fit to that other function. Our recommendations then are to follow our long-term procedure, which farmers, a lot of them are familiar with. Those who go to the extension meetings were very familiar with that equation. So that would be the same. If the ratios are outside of like the 8 to 10 ratio, then they can make an adjustment. But if they're back to the long-term ratios and price relationships, they don't really have to make any kind of adjustment. So we didn't want to make it more complicated than it had to be, because most of the time, like Kevin showed, most of the time that price ratio doesn't move very much. And at the same time, we made an adjustment for time of application, but I'm not going to go into that. And then again, I just want to emphasize the need to say that if they're putting on more N than we recommend based on the ratio, long-term ratio, we are going to end up with more N in the soil in the fall, and that is a problem. So we kind of have a multimedia approach to getting the word out. We have the written extension circular, which is what NRCS and the State Department of Ag and the DEQ, they all rely on our written word to make their rules, so we have to have it documented. We have a web-based soil test program I'll show you. We have an Excel spreadsheet. We also have something I call the slide rule, and of course we have our extension meetings. Probably the spreadsheet is what a lot of people have used. I don't know what the download numbers are, but people do call and talk about that, and it's kind of has the same data that you put in Montana, only it's, of course, spreadsheet, you can change things any way you want. But here they can set up when they're applying the N, what they're applying, what their price is, what their application costs are, and they can create a couple of scenarios. I won't go into some of the other inputs, but essentially this is what the output looks like. You could get various credits here, but in our unadjusted N recommendation, that is our long-term recommendation, which has been around since the mid-90s. And then here, based on what the farmer, whoever puts in, it calculates an average nitrogen price, including the application cost. And then there is a place where you put in the cost of corn, and it calculates the ratio. And so you would compare this line to the adjusted line, and as the ratio gets higher, you get more N. If the ratio gets lower, you get less N. And you can see kind of the magnitude of the change in N rates. And 8 to 1, here it has 9 is 1 to 1, but I think 8 to 1 is our official equal point. On the web, this too is available by CD, but a person can put in exactly the same kind of information for corn. The advantage of the soil test site is you can get a calculation and a total fertilizer recommendation for any of our crops in Nebraska. You get the same kind of output in terms of an unadjusted and an adjusted N rate. Our slide rule, I kind of like it. That's my little low-tech answer. It's like this. I have a few of them. If anyone wants one, I can give it out. When they try to teach us how to teach people, they say that people learn better by having hands-on. And I know a lot of our farmers, when we put an equation up, their eyes glaze over. They don't want to do equations. So, and especially the older ones, and the older farmers are the ones who remember what a slide rule was like when they went to school. The younger ones, they don't really think this is that much fun, but this basically does everything that the spreadsheet does. It doesn't calculate the cost of the nitrogen. You have to know what that is, but they can go through and keep it in their pocket and do what ifs based on soil organic matter, based on yield goal, and then down here it's based on the corn price ratio. So we go from very sophisticated web-based to maybe, I don't know when the slide rule was invented, but we got to cover all our bases here. So to conclude, We felt there was an advantage not to change the formula, even though we set out to say, well, maybe we need a new formula or a logarithm. We haven't done that yet. We wanted to make sure that what we were doing was good at high yields, and we feel comfortable about that. We have added this economic adjustment. We think it's simple enough that we can explain to farmers what we've done, and it's something they could take or not take. It's not integrated into our recommendations, which might be a little better. We probably need an economist on our team, which we have a shortage of in Nebraska right now. But there are some things we need to look at. We really haven't, as I said, addressed the variability between the two previous crops, and that's something we've talked about. If someone has a good idea about that, that would be great. And I've said a few times, environment impact hasn't been addressed. And even though we do our standard little evaluations at extension meetings, you know, what did you learn and how much is this worth to you, we really haven't fully evaluated the change in terms of how many farmers are actually using that. This NEB guide went online sometime in the summer, and I think about 2,000 people have downloaded, and you know, when you can get a million hits on a site, 2,000 doesn't mean much, but maybe they're, you know, maybe those are the people who really want to use it. But anyway, we don't really have a system for determining whether, you know, which one of our tools is more useful than another. So thank you.
Questions? Don't go away too soon. Thank you, Charles. We're running 15 minutes early, so what I would propose is, instead of, especially some of you might not be coming back for the second part of this symposium, does anybody have questions for either myself or for Keith? Kevin, sorry. Kurt.
I'm just asked if fertilizer prices are high. It looks like these models are predicting that maybe we should be putting a little less N on. Okay. And that's based on, you know, your model calculated from data sets.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody were to implement that and prices stayed high, and so year after year we continue to put N on at this reduced level, at some point is there going to be a greater penalty to these guys than what your data currently calculates?
That's a great question. So what I'm understanding is, yeah, you're saying there's both short-term effects, which we're modeling, a year effect, or not modeling, is what effect might excess nitrogen have, say, on stored soil nitrogen, or perhaps on organic matter mineralization. So it could work both ways. We're storing more nitrogen, but we're also potentially oxidizing more organic matter, releasing more organic matter nitrogen. So that's a very good question. And I don't think the studies have really been done where people have done a nitrogen rate response fertility trial and then gone back the next year and see, are there residual effects of over applying or under applying nitrogen? So that's an excellent question. Any comments or other thoughts on that? Yeah.
In North Carolina, we don't use any soil tests for residual nitrogen, so that I would guess would be a bigger factor for us than in states that do use nitrate.
What do you use?
We do more of a yield history.
Okay.
We're not confident that we can measure nitrate and count on that level being available 3 months later.
I see.
Your models are including nitrate.
They
showing, in other words, you're basically recommending, as a matter of fact, I don't know if people do this, in one case, Nebraska showed 4 foot sampling for nitrate.
Mm-hmm.
So in that situation, if people were doing that, they should be crediting themselves for that nitrogen and decrementing it back out. So you should be okay for that. The longer question would be, what is the effect on organic matter?
Mm-hmm.
And you actually have estimates for that. Now, are those parameters going to change, and how much are they going to change? I mean, in a sense, if your models are including those factors, then the compensation is simply as good as your correction factors, right?
It's
not like you're ignoring.
Right, we're not ignoring them, although we are ignoring nitrate below 3 feet, and we do think in certain years, many years, our winter wheat is capturing nitrate below there, and we get surprised by yield responses in certain years. But you're right, what effect does excess or deficient nitrogen have on organic matter? And there's a lot of debate on that. Kent?
I'd say, that's really true for the West, but if you go to the eastern part of the U.S. with a lot more rainfall, that's not true. Measuring nitrate in the fall
isn't
necessarily next spring.
Right.
You have to trust it.
Right. I think we have the right approach at the West.
Other questions or comments on any of the talks, Charles?
We actually get the other side of the comment is if you account for this mineralized end from the organic matter, aren't you going to deplete your organic matter? That would be a question from the audience a fair number of times. And there are people in our state who recommend 40 or 50 pounds of N more to counteract the N that we're counting for mineralization. Now, our data doesn't really show that you need to do that in probably the near short term, over a few years, but we don't know what would happen over 20 or 40.
And we do know in Montana on crop fallow, at least based on long-term studies, that we are slowly depleting organic nitrogen. So what's not known is whether fertilizing extra would counteract that or maybe even exacerbate it. We don't know that.
I guess what we're saying here is that by incorporating economics in this decision about nitrogen, are we driving ourselves away from good agronomic or long-term sustainability? Are we letting economics drive the tractor rather than, say, a sustainable system? And that's, I think these are valid points and a topic that we don't really know how that is and will work.
That's a good point. If I use current spring wheat protein discounts and premiums, which last I saw were somewhere around 30 cents per quarter percent, which is giant. They're paying about $1.20 more for 15% wheat than 14% protein wheat in Montana right now. So it's huge. When I run my model, it predicts that I should apply about 5 pounds of nitrogen per bushel at today's discounts. That's not something that I'm recommending, and it's not something most growers are going to do, but it is where the model at least says is the optimum nitrogen rate. So I think it's a great philosophical and ethical question. How far do we let economics drive decisions? And we know the grower is thinking economics, but some growers and the public are also thinking environment. So great point.